No, US President Joe Biden has added his voice to growing international calls for Israel to drop plans for an all-out military assault on the city of Rafah in southern Gaza after a hostage rescue operation that killed dozens of Palestinians over the last number of days. It comes as pressure continues to mount internationally on Israel to agree to a ceasefire with Hamas, despite the fact that they look like they've already started and are continuing to go on. We're going to talk with a Kerry politician, the Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council, Jim Finucane, who is trying to put together an initiative here in Ireland in relation to getting a ceasefire. Here first, though, is US President Joe Biden speaking last night in an address in relation to what he is trying to get Israel to do, or perhaps maybe not to do. You'll also hear senior EU diplomat Joseph Borrell, who had some very strong words for the US and other Western governments in relation to trying to stop the carnage.
I'm of the view, as you know, that the conduct of the response in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, has been over the top. I think that, as you know, initially, the president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to get in. I talked to him. I convinced him to open the gate. I talked to Bibi to open the gate on the Israeli side. I've been pushing really hard to get humanitarian assistance into Gaza. There are a lot of innocent people who are starving, a lot of innocent people who are in trouble and dying. And it's got to stop, number one. Number two, I was also in the position that I'm the guy that made the case that we have to do much more to increase the amount of material going in, including fuel, including other items. I've been on the phone with the Qataris, I've been on the phone with the Egyptians, I've been on the phone with the Saudis to get as much aid as we possibly can into Gaza. There are innocent people, innocent women and children who are also in badly need of help. And so that's what we're pushing. And I'm pushing very hard now to deal with this hostage ceasefire because, as a, you know, I've been working tirelessly in this deal. How can I say this without revealing it? To lead to a sustained pause in the fighting, in the actions taking place in the Gaza Strip.
But let's be logical. How many times have you heard the most prominent leaders and foreign ministers around the world saying too many people are being killed? President Biden said this is too much on the top. It's not proportional. Well, if you believe that too many people are being killed, maybe you should provide less arms in order to prevent so many people being killed. It's not logical. Everybody goes to Tel Aviv begging, please, don't do that. Protect civilians. Don't kill so many. How many is too many? Which is the standard? But Netanyahu doesn't listen to anyone. They're going to evacuate. Where? To the moon? Where are they going to evacuate these people? So if the international community believes that this is a slaughter, that too many people are being killed, maybe they have to think about the provision of arms.
There you go. That's Joseph Borrell there talking from his perspective as a diplomat in relation to what is happening. Jordan's King Abdullah has called for a lasting ceasefire in Gaza and condemns Israel's operation on Rafah. We cannot afford an Israeli attack on Rafah. Before he called for a lasting ceasefire. Now, he spoke at a press conference with President Biden after Rafah, a designated safe zone, home to more than 1.4 million displaced Palestinians, was pounded by Israeli airstrikes overnight. That's where things stand at the moment in this international crisis. Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council is Jim Finucane. He's going to Dublin today to sign an appeal for a ceasefire at the Mission of State for Palestine offices in Dublin. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
Why are you doing this?
Well, like everybody else, Jerry, it's hard to watch it on television and on news programs every evening. And when you see the plight of civilians, the case of that girl that was trapped in a car for 6 days, and the ambulance that was sent to rescue her was destroyed, and the paramedics killed. It's very hard to sit still and not try to do something in our own capacities, just to bring it to some type of halt and to appeal, you know, on a humanitarian level, that this cannot be allowed to continue. And this loss of innocent life, when I wrote to the other Cathaoics on the 18th of January, the death toll was 23,210. And we've seen now it's up to 28,000. 70% of those who were killed were women and children, and about 60,000 injured. And there's still seven, again, at that date, the figures were 7,000 civilians are missing. Like, it's a humanitarian disaster, and anybody that can do or say anything, I'm a believer in just not sitting still and just adding to it. So I wrote to my colleagues, Cathaoics, throughout the country. I can't, obviously, had discussions with the Palestinian ambassador, and a number are just signing a simple document calling for an immediate lasting ceasefire in Gaza, the recognition by all of a two-state solution, and the creation of a viable, independent Palestine. Palestine and the plight of the Palestinian people has been the central core of the unrest in the Middle East since as long as I can remember. Yeah. And I think as a small country, but with our own difficulties in the past and our own peace process, I think we've something to bring to the table. And with what we achieved in our peace process, surely if the same effort was put into this situation, that some lasting peace needs to be established. But you know, primarily this is a humanitarian exercise, and but it has to stop.
Yeah, and look, that story of the 6-year-old Hind Rajab, the last call, that's just kind of encapsulates the horror of a lot of what's been happening there, and will only get worse if the attacks on Rafah continue. What is the hope, though, that this will make any difference, Jim? That if every local authority, Cathaoic, signs it, pressure put on it. There's been pressure put on since this started, and it's amounted to little, really, in terms of stopping Israel doing what it wants.
Well, one of the things that, Jerry, that appealed to me, a lot of politicians will leave, including myself, will be in the United States for St. Patrick's Day. We have to get across to our friends in the United States, as long as Israel has a blanket guarantee, how serious will they ever be to devolve into an active peace process? And I think we have an influence, and we have an influence in Europe, and we have an influence, but we have a strong influence in the United States. And I think the timing of what's happening here is puts pressure on all of us to say to politicians that we know or that we have personal knowledge with, this is unacceptable. The world cannot continue to witness just the civilians seem to be just a casualty war, collateral damage. And even listening to the Palestinian, not the Palestinian, but the Israeli ambassador on the news program on RTE last night, and just saying how careful they are and that they put thought and effort into trying securing safe zones. Like in the people of Rafah, where do they go? If they go north, it's where it has already been destroyed. There is no infrastructure, there's no housing. And it's just that herding people from one frightening situation to another. And just because people haven't powerful economic forces, but you know, it beholds every human and every person involved in public life, you know, to say to Israel, this is not acceptable and cannot be allowed to continue.
Okay, look, what would you say, and look, your letter acknowledges a call for a two-state solution, one for Israel, one for Palestine, and it also acknowledges the events of 7th of October when 1,200 Israelis were massacred. How important is that element of it, that this isn't all one way? Because if you're going to get the Israelis to agree to anything, you have to acknowledge what's been done wrong on the other side, which has been minimised by some Irish politicians.
Yeah. No, and look, at we know, if you look back on our own history and the violence in Northern Ireland and the retaliation, the murders, and it was a spiral. And it took a process where people made, and particularly politicians on all fronts, but people made courageous steps forward, whether it was John Hume, Gerry Adams, the paramilitary organizations on both sides of this conflict. People had to step outside of the norm and say, look, we need to do something. And we've learnt a huge amount from that process, and there is still a residue of pain from that conflict. And I think it beholds us, because we have that knowledge and that experience, to say to the broader world, look, at when people looked at the North and looked at Ireland at that time, it was seen as an untractable problem, and one of these problems that went on, and there was no solution to it. And yet, at the same time, within the courage of individual people, it was changed, and a process was put in place that changed the course of this island. So I think that's the other aspect of this, that we need to bring that message as forcefully as we can to our brothers, if you like, platform, and say to people, look, this has been our experience, but it needs people. But the wanton, continuous destruction of civilian infrastructure, we've seen it in Ukraine. It seems to be no aspect of war that really civilians are collateral to a military objective, and that cannot be. We cannot allow humanity to just get to a level where this is acceptable.
Yeah, okay, well, look, from that point of view, do you think that Ireland, and I know you mentioned the peace process there, but from the commentary from Ireland, from our stance in terms of our criticism from the government of what Israel has done right from the onset of this, has that damaged, you think, our credibility as a peace broker here? That Israel is not exactly happy with what we've been saying.
Like everything else, it takes courage. And I would certainly, you know, when you see Micheál Martin's statement over the last 2 days, live right, and generally politicians across the front, but certainly the government on this issue, it's a matter you have to stand up for something that's right or wrong. And I think in some ways it has added to our credibility, because we needed, we certainly got outside assistance for the peace process, the appointment of George Mitchell. We had a British Prime Minister at the time, an American president, and we had our own political entities here. But it took an overall effort by a number of people from those from outside. So I believe, as a small nation that has gone through its own process, I think we've a lot to bring to the table here. But the first part of that is to stop what's happening at the moment, because you can't tell innocent civilians the right, you know, the rights or wrong, or debate a political viewpoint with civilians when they have been trussed, when they're being killed, and their deaths are just seen as collateral damage to a greater military objective.
Yeah, and that objective continuing as things stand. Do you think the pressure that's been brought to bear now, the comments of Joseph Borrell of the EU, the High Representative of the European Union Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, the President Biden's comments, the King Abdullah of Jordan, that will result in something in the next few days?
Well, I believe it will, because I believe no matter what happens, and I believe that, you know, even with the opposition that there is in Israel, but, you know, the world cannot be ignored, and world opinion cannot be ignored indefinitely. And nobody can see the justification of what's happening at the moment. And whatever has to happen, and we're not talking about a ceasefire, and I agree, but it has to be a lasting ceasefire. You cannot hold a threat of violence over people and say, well, look, we're going to have this for so many weeks or so many days, and then, you know, everything is going to be go back to what it was before then. These people have rights, and it's a matter of, and Israelis have rights, but it's about the recognition of human people, civilians, that they have to be paramount in any drive to bring about a peaceful solution.
Okay, John in Killorglin says, why don't we just call for a ban on all Israeli imports coming into our country until they stop fighting?
Well, look, there are a number of options that we have to. But I believe that with EU, and it's an opportunity, particularly for the EU as well. And I think their statements have been strong. But and there are powerful countries, obviously, in part of Europe. You know, Germany, France, Britain—they all have obviously ties or connections with it. But it needs to be a cohesive, coherent approach from a lot of, particularly from Europe, to say to this is not acceptable. What we want here is an opportunity to put in place some process where we begin to look at the deep-rooted issues that are impacting on the Palestinian people. But it's not realistic to expect a people that have been scattered to refugee camps in Lebanon, all over, you know, that they cannot have a future in their own homeland. I believe that it's a premise that we have to move forward. But I think it's an opportunity for ourselves, our Irish-American connections, our role in Europe, you know, to begin to say, look, this has been our experience. And if we work at this, there will be a solution found. But it has to start with a ceasefire.
Okay. Jim, let me ask you finally on a separate issue. Paul Keogh, party stalwart, a TD for 22 years, a minister with serious experience, has decided at the age of 51... to step back and retire from politics. 9 Fine Gael TDs now, sitting TDs, not running in the next election. Is there a bit of a crisis brewing, at least for headquarters?
Jerry, you have to say, but I think it's part of an overall thing. I think that politics is not seen as a very attractive occupation, particularly if you have a young family, and I think we've seen that. I've always said that there's an emphasis here that, and then you have aspects of social media, you have aspects of, and I think an awful lot of politicians probably have looked at their own lifestyle or their family's lifestyle, and said, look, this is a strong price to pay, and that's a factor in it. And I think we have to, there's a greater picture here for the body politic to make politics some way more attractive for people, to, you know. But look, I think there is symptoms there of people will do it for so long and perhaps just say, look, I've done enough. But I think there is a bigger issue that we have to address, and that is to get people to see politics is relevant, that you have a role to play, that people should be encouraged in it, but it has to be seen to be a more attractive option than it is at the present.
So this isn't just a Fine Gael problem, and you bring it to Kerry, it's Conor Patrick, Conor Scardine, it's Seamus Cossey Fitzgerald, it's Aoife Thornton shocking everybody and saying, I've had enough.
There is an issue here that the party has to address, and you know, my own views about how we attract it. I believe that we need to directly approach people to come in from outside. I think that, and a lot of the stresses and strains in most people's life, if you look back at the structures that we operate in as a party, branch meetings and where people would come, like, all that has changed. Young people have no interest in going to meetings if you're just going through.
So things need to change, you'll continue to lose people. Jim, we are over time, but thanks, William, for your view on that. We'll see where that initiative goes, and thanks for talking to me in the programme this morning.
Thanks, Jerry.
Councillor Jim Finucane, Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council, give us your views on what he said.